Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, good evening, and God's evening, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am blessed this wonderful autumn. It is still autumn, right? Autumn evening. You know, we don't talk about autumn and spring and all of that. We don't do that much, you know? And sometimes I have to ask myself, it is that time of the year. But I'm doing well. We welcome everybody in tonight on this wonderful Tuesday evening. I'm expecting great things from our time together. I know great things are going to come out of tonight because the Lord has some things on his mind. And I want to just start by reminding you, Ashley, what we did last week. Do you remember what we did last week?
Well, I'm sure giving the answer we talked about the assessments would just be a little too shallow. But we were talking about, let me see here, the impact of the assessments on leaders and their people. I know I had to address that on the show, and really how we diversify even in our advisements with the people.
Absolutely. And so last week we had you and Chief Prophet Paula, and so I'm excited about getting the other part of our advisory team. And I'm going to have, before we do, I'm going to do two things. Number one, I want to remind everybody why we get together here like this on Tuesdays, because it's just a wonderful opportunity to talk about the assessments and to give people an idea of what they are and what they do in light of the fact that they're so different, so unique from what the church is accustomed to. I mean, we have that all the time, you know, where it's just different. Now, it's not that the church is unaccustomed to assessments, because there's many, you know, but it is very unique that we have an assessment that handles all of the ministries, the ministers of the body of Christ, even if they're fivefold, threefold, or congregation ministers. So we do have that, our staff ministers. But we also have one that emphasizes the two most difficult offices to manage and administrate to date. As God was restoring the entire fivefold and now the threefold, which is the teacher, apostle, prophet, and teacher, as God was restoring these offices, we realized that, you know, so far we can define a pastor. We can certainly define an evangelist, clearly. We can easily define a teacher. Come on, every civilization has a teaching institution in some form or another. But we found that in trying to reconnect the apostle and prophet to the fivefold, that was a little more difficult than we imagined, because these offices have yet had the opportunity to be defined, well-defined, and then standardized, because you need to have that for something to continue. There must be a standard. There must be uniformity for there to be a standard, and there must be criteria for uniformity. Now, those of you who are listening to us this evening, it's very important that you recognize why we do this, because you standardize something because you intend to do it more than once. You uniform it because you intend to do it well more than once. And then you set criteria for it because you intend for it to produce and reproduce the same way more than once. That's why we do it. Now, think about that, because we've not done that with these two offices. And so we kind of have left all of the uniformity and standardization and such up to the gift, because we've been talking about the linchpin of what we do is the understanding and application of God's gift versus office. Revelation, because we treat everybody in most of the people that are in ministry, we just take the office part as an assumption, and that's not necessarily so. So the reason that the assessments were created was to establish excellence in ministry, in the offices of the fivefold, and particularly to establish excellence among apostles and prophets, because that just wasn't happening. At the time that I was working on this, some of the major arguments we had about prophets was that you don't know who can prophesy. I mean, just because they bring the word of the Lord, does that make them a prophet? Okay, I've got prophets tearing up my church. We've got this band of prophets roaming around the body in various areas, regions, and they're just, you know, going in and raking the church over and plundering the houses and the people of God. I mean, that's what was the climate, and I'm sure it's not a whole lot different today, although it seems to be a little bit more organized, but that was basically it. And who could police? I mean, if a prophet decided not to be the member of your church or decided to leave the church because you didn't appreciate their gift, and likewise a young apostle, well, you're just fresh out of luck. You're just fresh out of luck. So now, here we are all of these years later, and we realize, well, what was the problem? I've been sitting around the table having various discussions with different leaders over that period of time. We argued about, well, what was it? How do you bring them in? How do you do that? Well, how do you define it? And everybody concluded it was a huge work. It's a vast work. And it is. It's taken me the better part of 30 years of my life, and as far as the assessments go, it's taken me the better part of 10, or more closer to 15 years. So it is a huge work, because what did we have to do? We had to come up with criteria. We had to set the criteria so that it's uniform, and then once we did it, we had to now present something that everybody could do, which is standardized. Now, so even though we might say, well, you know, we don't like rules, you know, churches, you know, especially, you know, the charismatic church, whatever, they're not fond of rules, not fond of being held to a standard, kept to a particular profile and whatever, yet we are. And so what I noticed that the first test case, actually none of this was my idea, so I refuse to take any credit for it. All credit genuinely goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't say that coyly. I say that truly. And so the first test case was the Prophet's Dictionary. Once I released the Prophet's Dictionary, which is now, I think my daughter tells me, is in its 12th year, you know, we found out, wow, this answered something. People purchased it. Prophets loved it. They were able to find themselves, and they were able to understand themselves. Now, I had something out before then called Church Prophets that was doing fairly well, you know, but it was the dictionary that set the criteria and created the environment for uniformity. So we did that. We did the dictionary. We created this environment for uniformity to happen. Now, and as a result, all three, when they work well, you get two things, continuity and consistency. I like talking to you like this, you know, because the body of Christ is smarter than we who are not out there in the world think. So you all understand these words. So The dictionary now became something that could be uniform enough for it to schools to use it and organizations, prophetic and organizations to use it, pastors and churches to use it, so that now we have we're saying uniformity. We now have a tool of uniformity. This instrument is the Prophet's Dictionary. So now people are using the language, and we also answer the other foreign element, which is vernacular. Now we have language. We've got vernacular. We've got guidelines. And now, since it's a dictionary, people were able to begin to set their standards and move forward. So on the success of that, while that is working, realize, okay, well, now why don't we take and do something with this information? And that's how we began to develop the assessment. As I did so, I end up realizing, okay, now we have all of these people who are interested in this, but now we need training. We now know what we're doing. We now know what we are. We now know what we should look like as a finished product, but how do we get there? Came up with the Prophet's Handbook. And the Prophet's Handbook ends up being the textbook that is the perfect complement of the Prophet's Dictionary. Now we can train this product, because that's what the education is about. You know, is to produce an end product that accomplishes an end goal. We don't think about that in the church. You know, we just want to train people how to do something, and that means that it's important to them. But when you are going after an end product and an end goal, you're now looking at an institution, and all of these things just go along with the package. So we have the Prophet's Handbook. So now people purchase the handbook, and they use it in schools. I'm understanding that there are very few prophetic schools, even around the world, because neither one of these books are confined to the United States. So even around the world, there are very few prophetic institutions that don't require the Prophet's Dictionary and the Prophet's Handbook to be mandatory. They're mandatory texts. Those of you who are listening, we did a test. You can see yourself how effective and successful these tools have been. Just key in the Prophet's Dictionary and see how many pages and pages of Internet text sites that have the Prophet's Dictionary and use it. People use it in their papers. They use it in their training. What are we doing? We're getting that standard out there. We're setting it. We're making it pervasive. And this was no great big announcement, no great big push. It was just a matter of meeting a need. So now we have the tools. We have the Prophet's Dictionary for us to understand what the package called Prophet should look like. And then we have the Prophet's Handbook for us to transform our prophets into that and to also benefit the church. You know, the Prophet's Handbook had the local church in mind as much as it had the prophetic in mind, because my heart went out for pastors who were literally being battered by, you know, these undisciplined, over-exuberant, very zealous prophets, because I don't think that it was all of it was about hostility or anything like that. I am convinced that people were answering the call with what they had, and what they had was their gift. So they rose up, and, I mean, the pastor has a gift, and the evangelist has a gift, the teacher has a gift. Now we have gifts, so we're a gift to the body. And so we began to deal with that in the Prophet's Handbook, telling pastors how to handle your prophets that are awakening in your midst. Many, many pastors wanted to do it because if a person is truly a pastor, they love their sheep. It doesn't make a difference what it is. They love their sheep, and as they feel about natural children, they feel about their sheep. They want to see them fulfill purpose. They want to see them profitable in the kingdom of God and in the body, starting in the body before we get to the kingdom. They want to know that they can fulfill their destiny, that they can be, you know, manifest what God called them to do and called them to be. So the pastors were the ones that were like, okay, I'm not trying to put this young brother out of my church. I'm not trying to sit this sister down. I'm trying to find out how to shepherd them along with the rest of my flock, give them their opportunity, utilize them in the body, and still keep everything intact. That was a challenge. And it is difficult to mainstream a developing prophet, an emerging prophet, in your church. It is difficult. The very nature of the institution is that it's difficult to do unless you create a sub-institution called a prophetic company. And so in order for you to do that, you have to have this sub-institution, or you need to, if you're not large enough or not inclined to do that, as a pastor, you need to have your church attached to a prophetic institution, or a prophet who has a prophetic company. Then your church has to be in a fellowship, not bound to, but in fellowship, so that that prophetic piece that you want to offer those people in your body, because it is a benefit to the church, is able to be developed and guided by that mantle. It's difficult for the pastor's mantle to develop and guide the prophet's mantle unless that pastor is a prophet. And even in that case, it's such a split. Sometimes the friction between the two, even within the pastor, before we get to the sheep, can make one subject to the other. So if you're a pastor and you say, you know, I don't want to sit on the prophets in my church, not every pastor wants to. I'm a shepherd. I'm supposed to be able to shepherd anything God can give life to, anything God can redeem. As a shepherd, I'm supposed to be able to shepherd it, a pastorate in some form or another. So now we give you this tool. We have these two tools called the Prophet's Dictionary and the Prophet's Handbook. Now, having done that, and the handbook telling the pastor, this is what you have going in your church. This is what's going on inside of this awakening prophet. This is what's happening in this developing prophet. Okay, this frustrated prophet over here, this is what you do. Okay, pastor, this is where you start. Okay, young prophet, this is where you begin. Okay, chief prophet, this is how you get it started, how you kick it off. And so the prophet's handbook does that for you in a textbook fashion with activities and exercises that guide your development and your nurture of a prophetic a prophet and a prophetic sheep member, you call what you want, and then helps you at the end set up a prophetic institution. I think about it, and I think, you know, pastors don't have to be prophets to have a functional, productive prophetic institution. Just purchase the prophet's handbook. It's there for you, right in the back. Now, many people are inclined to jump to the back. If you are a shepherd of your church, don't let your people just jump through the back. Well, we'll just do this, because the institution has spiritual and angelic dynamics. Though, you know, the dynamisms of the prophet's office is the angelic guard that God sends. You know, so they're going to do it right, even if your people want to do it wrong. What you'll end up with is chaos and confusion and frustration. So walk your people through the program. So you can, pastor, you don't have to be a prophet and say, let's look at this book and let's read this. Okay, starting on chapter 1, this is what it says. Now, we don't know what these different terms mean prophetically. You have as a companion to it the prophet's dictionary. Now, once you've identified this, we also have, which is why we have our Tuesday night talk, we have now the standardized ministry assessments. Now, the standardized ministry assessments is for your entire church or your entire business or your entire Christian institution, your entire kingdom enterprise. So it's for everyone who names the name of Christ. And what it does is it helps you identify your people, and it helps you place people in their proper way and utilize the gifts and talents God entrusts to your mantle. And so a large part of that, bringing us to the way we opened this, is the gift versus office. The gift versus office has been where the controversy is. That's where the tension has arisen. The friction that ministries and offices have is based on that. And I've said it over and over again, and I'll continue to teach this. You know, Ashley, as I'm talking about it, I'm thinking about that last week you sent around a link that someone had on the Internet. We didn't even know from the prophet's handbook talking about gift versus office. And from what I've been able to see, our response to that has been very, very healthy. And so I say to you, the gift versus office, the office belongs to the institution, because people come into a business and they leave. They join a church, they leave a church. They leave because they move. They leave because they outgrow it. They leave because they pass on, they die. They leave because God moves them into another position, or either the pastor accepts the church is going in the direction they don't want. So what happens is we at PPM Global help the leaders by helping them set up God's churches in a way that's productive to their mantles and to their particular vision. Now, we help the leaders like that. We help the body by helping them find their place and know where they fit. Nothing is worse than being coming into a church, you're excited, you're enthusiastic because God is doing something new, and you're finally connected to a church, and you come in, and the first thing they tell you is what you're going to do. Okay, you're going to do so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And you want to say, you know, that's not me. I don't really fit that. That's not something I can do well. And they'll tell you, no, you just have to believe, you have to have faith, and have you plowing, trudging, and doing something that you just are not good at or you just aren't comfortable with. And so something that you would do better as a support rather than a primary person to handle it. The assessment answers that. So you take an assessment. It tells you your dominant gift, manifestation, or office. We discussed that last week. Please go back to last week's blog talk. Listen to it. So we discussed that. It tells you your secondary gift, your best environment, lets you know what – how ready you are to do it by your own answers, how ready you are to do it, how what you need to do to get on par, tells you the things that could trip you up, tells you the things that you bring to any organization and the assets that you bring to God's kingdom already at the time of the assessment, gives you a host of information. We then turn around and have a 30-minute advisement so that you don't have to figure it out on your own. You don't have to kind of assume. We have trained advisors, and our staff is increasing. We're excited about that. You'll be listening to some of the things that are happening with PPM Global Resources in the future. We are definitely on the move. We are catching on and taking hold of this thing that God has given us to do. So, hey, keep a listen, because we will be talking about some of the things that we have coming by the top of 2014. But anyway, getting back to the assessment, we're going, if they help you, we give you this advisor. Now, the advisor has two roles that after the assessment. It doesn't just end. We don't just give you this tool, give you your printout, and say, wow, it's been nice, wish you the best. That is not what we do. That advisor offers you our services, because PPM Global Resources is not a ministry. We would like to say that over and over again. We are a company. We are a for-profit company that handles ministerial business. So our business is ministry. Our business is business. Our business is professionalism. Whatever, we have quite a few dimensions, but our business is a business. And so when we present our opportunities to you, we present our offerings and services to you, we're not asking you to leave your church. We're not asking you to drop your head apostle, your covering. We're not asking you to switch mentorship. None of those things factor into it with PPM Global Resources any more than it would any other business offering a service. We're just saying we want to augment and supplement what's going on in your life. So going forward, we give you this, and then our advisors, after they have made your assessment make sense to you, then offer you services. And we offer services for, as I pointed out, businesses as well as individuals. So it's a wonderful tool that has opened up to us and to the body of Christ a host of support and continuing services that create a relationship between PPM Global Resources and our advisors and our tools, other support tools, and the body of Christ. And so it's a superb bridge between God calling you into ministry and telling you what he wants you to do and you going into ministry and getting it done. That bridge that determines or facilitates your excellence and comfort in doing that is PPM Global Resources. We are that bridge. Just look at us in your mind as a bridge over the two things. And so you come from the throne of God, go over that bridge called PPM Global Resources, and move right into your destiny. Now you're going to spend a little time on the bridge, because you are going to learn, and you're going to train and get some support, and et cetera. We have training. We have counseling. We have development. We have mentorship. We have organizational support. So there's a lot for you to do. You know, so we're not the bridge that you just ride on over. Well, you can kind of mosey on through, just stroll through the different gates on our bridge until you finish and enter your destiny. As it stands now, we have a number of apostles and prophets who are coming aboard, not only just to take the assessments, but to be future advisors. And that's some of what we'll talk to you about probably the top of December. We'll start really turning these Tuesday nights into some of that, so you'll know that there's a future and a hope, and there is a prosperous hope in this thing. You know, before we got to this point, you were a prophet. You had to wait for somebody to let you in the church or wait for somebody to put you on their conference and hope somebody would put you in their prefetry, and none of that was as pure as you needed it to be, meaning your gift, your potential, your effectiveness did not always factor into it. You had to know somebody who can vouch for you and all of those kinds of things. Well, what we do also is, as one of our advisees or mentees, whichever capacity you fit, you also get the backing and the credentialing of our organizations. So this thing is so set to take you into purpose and to secure you, anchor you in your place, outfit you in what God called you to do, root and ground you into the purpose that God has and then to accredit you as a minister of the gospel and in your particular office and recognize you so that people who you can say, you know what, I'm a part of PPM Global Resources, a program on this, or I've been a part of this mentorship thing. You now have an advisor who can vouch for you. Do you know what that's like? Who can give you a recommendation or referral? Who can let the people who are wondering who you're connected to and who can speak into your calling, who can speak into your readiness, your training and development? That's a whole other piece, that credentialing piece, that credibility piece. PPM Global Resources brings that to the table as well. So as you can see, there is a lot of reasons, numerous reasons for you to continue to join us on Tuesday night, for you to get on the internet, drpaulaprice.com, and go and take your own assessment if you're an individual, for you to go to the ppmglobalresources.com and say, I want a demo on a group assessment. We have a lot. And so there are so many gaps in the system as it was, or in the customs, because they weren't systems. There was nothing really systemized about it. But there were so many gaps in the customs and that we had that PPM Global Resources, by virtue of the standardized ministry assessments, filled. We plugged a lot of holes. We give a lot of credibility now. We definitely give people confidence and courage, and the knowledge that we impart and the skills that we instill in people are just amazing. So you have a lot of reasons to continue with us. You'll go there and find out, hey, I'm wondering if I am advisor material. You can find that on the web as well. I'm wondering if I can be a part of the mentorship thing, or if I can become credentialed. This whole thing started from just looking at the problem, listening to the complaints, exploring the cause, and developing the solution. That is how this all began. So, Ashley, guess what? You got another crash course on all of it.
Yeah, and I always appreciate that.
It is amazing, though, and we've seen it. So last week, Ashley, we had you and Tala talk about, you know, where you are from 5 years from when you took your assessment with and how PPM Global Resources grew out of all of that, because when you all took it, there was no company, and now here we are with a viable, thriving company who was able to take that from a single experience. I went online and I took an assessment to a complete training program that put you into your ministry profession. So we go from experience to profession, and that is amazing. So we have, I understand, our other two advisors on the phone who are going to talk to us about, who are going to share their story about the advisements, the assessment, now how they became an advisor, but where they are after their assessment 5 years later. So I'm going to start with Apostle Sally Chaney. She is one of our advisors, has been with us for probably a little over a year now, doing a great job. And so she's going to start, and then right after her, we're going to move on to Prophet Adia Peterson, who is also one of our advisors and has been with us since the inception of this thing. So she's another one of our trial by fire. Although I think Apostle Sally's tried by fire too. Anyway, Apostle Sally, welcome to our show. And tell us a little bit about you and the standardized ministry assessments after 5 years and what you're doing today, and then also how it contributed to what you're doing and who you are today in God's service.
Amen. Well, thank you for allowing me to come forth and explain my testimony of these assessments, Dr. Price. It has been quite an experience, a wholesome experience. I took the assessment. It's been about the same time, about 5 years ago, and I remember taking it, and I thought to myself, this is going to be interesting. I'm finally going to find out who I really, really am, and from what I had learned about it, it was supposed to be very, very accurate, so I was excited, and after I took it, I came up as an apostle. I took the ministry advisement, I'm sorry, and then I took the apostle advisement. as well, but I came up as a double apostle on it, and I said, okay, I really am who God has called me to be, and went from there and started thinking about, okay, how ready am I? And I was so excited about the assessment because there was a readiness score that told me exactly how ready I am to do this work and to really go into the full office of what this work was calling me to become. And it also outlined all my training. So this was very, very healthy for me to have something already laid out for me, a readiness path of how to get there. At first when I saw the scores, Dr. Price had to, I remember you had to tell me over and over, it's not a test, it's not a test. And I kept thinking, oh, God, I got to do better than that. I want to be able to make a high, high score. Well, after I went through a few years of understanding that that score wasn't so bad, it was telling me how ready I was for that day, but that I could pull that score up by getting proper education and making sure that I get trained like I needed to get through that pathway to my destiny. And it was all outlined for me. It also helped me because I was in a church at the time. I was pastoring a church and acting as an apostle at that point in an upcoming apostle role. And I at that time said, Lord, you know, if I'm going to continue to do this in the church, I've got to be able to teach others. Well, I knew that if I got the proper training, I could teach this message down the road. And 5 years later, I'm still going through more training through my apostolic development, but I have grown a lot. I've found out that my score wasn't so bad. After all, it was a score that showed me that I was halfway there and that it gave me the measurement plan of how to get where I needed to go from there. It also taught me a lot about standards. It gave me a lot of description there of what standards were to the Lord and how important it is that apostles are developed properly and know who they really are and not just taking on a title just to say I'm an apostle. It put a little fear of the Lord inside of me in that area because I realized it's not something that you want to just say that you are if you're not developed in it. You don't want to say that you are and that you're completely ready for it. It's a time of saying that you're ready. And I just appreciated all the training 5 years later. Again, I'm still being trained, and I'm still learning a lot about the apostleship role and all the other fivefold. I'm also, you know, in churches now, and I'm teaching on this subject and helping other churches to understand whether they are an apostle or a pastor, that it's important that they get trained to understand if they're in the full position of that office, which is a higher measurement to be there, that they are really, really with the mindset that they don't mind letting God let them become that general that he wants them to be, which means that they're going to have to go back to school and understand what that word really means and what that mantle really holds. So I'm very excited about the assessments of what it's done for me. After a while, when I took it as a pastor, we gave it to our church as well. So that was good for me, too, to see where our organization was and where they needed to come up. And we thought that everybody was going to be strong in the areas of apostleship, and they were more with strength in the prophetic realm, so in the prophetic giftings, and they weren't even ready for the mantle of being a prophet or any of that manner. So, I mean, all of these things that I learned through my experiences has been very, very healthy for me. I'm a much better person. I feel like I've matured greatly as far as the things of the Lord, and I'm not so quick to just put anybody in position that says, I want a license to be a pastor or a teacher or whether they are an apostle. And, you know, having the people understand what it is to be commissioned and going through all of what we have to go through to get there, it's a whole new world for me. And I believe that a lot of people that I have to talk to in this day are going to want to know what's the right way to do this And the assessment is the right way to start out. I'm already handling some churches right now that are about to take the assessment that are leaders because they realize, okay, I don't want to have to just pray in the spirit all day to try to find out anymore. They realize that there is a tool out there that can help them because they've seen it help me. So my life has been a testimony. It's still a testimony to many, many people. I appreciate Dr. Price and all that what she's done to pour into this. I know it's what we need in this hour, and we don't have to go and have to just go through all these other measures to try to figure out who we are anymore. It's already outlined, a great, great gift for the body of Christ.
Well, and you also are advising now, right?
Yes, I am advising, yes.
In a professional capacity. How is that, how's that working out for you?
It's been awesome as well because I've had to live through this of understanding the results of having to go through a pathway of learning how to mature in my office. So therefore, what I'm doing now is helping others to understand. Don't look down if you're – because the ones that I advise, if their scores are pretty low, I tell them don't look at that and be discouraged in any kind of way. Be encouraged because there is a pathway to get you where you need to go, and we have an outline pathway through PPM Global to do just that for you. So now when I'm giving the advisement results to all of the people that I talk to, I have something that I can say that is a testimony for them that has worked for me. It's worked for those that I have had to minister to in my ministry. So they are excited when they hear my story, and I just usually just give them just a little taste. But when I go through talking about the advisement, I tell you it is so much more with a healthiness in it now because I understand what I'm talking about. Not just because I took the assessment, but I've done them now for a little while for the last year, and I feel more confident. But it's going very, very well. The people are so excited after they're done. They're ready to get into what we call our life tracks, getting them on a track to learn how to get the Bible knowledge and all of what they need to understand about the gifts operation. They're ready to do that now because they know that there's something more than just the results. They have ways of getting their education started. So it's been great.
Wonderful. Now I want to ask you one last question. I appreciate your testimony and truly, you have presented this as a great tool and a great impact in your life. Now, you have been in ministry for quite some time before you took the assessment, so you are virtually in ministry, let's say ministerially speaking, you're having a whole new career change. Is that right?
That is absolutely true, a whole new career change. I've been in ministry for over 40 years. Thought I had this thing together and knew all of what I needed to know, and only to find out, wow, you really don't have but maybe a small piece of the puzzle. So I have had a career change because even having to go back and get more schooling because God has really shown me that even though I wasn't going back to school for banking, which is what my career was at first, you know, that God wanted me to see that even in the kingdom of God, getting that education of understanding what apostleship is really about and being a strong apostle in the kingdom for the king, that was major important and more important than anything I'd ever done. So this career change has been different for me, but I didn't think I had to do it. But now I understand that was the only way.
That's powerful. Now, as an advisor, have you met other people in your peer group or, you know, in your age group that also are finding this out and have stumbled across PPM Global resources as a solution?
Oh, yes, I have already. Even one person that I'm working with right now, one pastor that I'm working with right now, she's already saying that, you know, what she's seeing in me, she knows this has to be a great tool, but she's prepared to get her people in her church, because she is a senior pastor, to also take the advisement. But some of the people that have taken it that are friends of mine have already seen their lives change in the last year that they've taken it, and they've given me testimonies of them finally understanding what their call is and what mantle they've had and how some of them were in wrong seats and should have gotten out of those seats, but they didn't have this tool before. And now that they have it, they're really open to get into their proper alignment of who they're really called to be.
Excellent. That is a powerful testimony, and I'm excited to hear what it's doing in you. And we know that you are a very well-liked, well-loved advisor because our people, our clients tell us, your clients, those that you have. And I wanted you to give your testimony because I wanted people to realize that, you know, God never stops. Moses was 80. Very few of us are 80. God never stops because God is in control of time. He's in control of life. So he never stops. So even if God gave you a call at 20 and you've done it well and it's effective, but if he wants to move you up in his company, to move you forward in his business, to have you do something else, there has to be change. There has to be training in order for you to enter that new clock phase. What we have found at our PPM Global Resources that many of the people who've been in ministry as long as Apostle Sally has, they are kind of like, okay, well, I'm still like, this is what God called me to do, the end. Well, no, God is like any other boss, the head of any other institution or entity. He has different levels. And so God wants to promote some of you. It's not even a matter of saying, oh, my gosh, I just answered God. I did 25 years of my life. It's just a waste. That's not it. God is tapping you for promotion. He's tapping you for a new department, for a new task, a new desk, a new job, and it's okay because it's going to be better. See, we've been prophesying that he wants to do a new thing. Now he's ready to call us upon us to be a part of the new thing he's doing, and we're like, oh, no, I served you all these years doing this. Oh, no, that can't, you said, oh, no, that can't be God. No. Be open and think, maybe my restlessness is because God's promoting me. Maybe my restlessness is because he wants to give me a different job, a different department to work in, another ministry for him. This is a kingdom. And so I would suggest those of you who are listening, go back when this is over and listen to Apostle Sally's story because it's for you. You know, just because God is moving you upward doesn't mean what you've done and how you've done it has been unsatisfactory to him. Maybe you've done it so well, he wants to use you to the next level. We always talk about companies. As soon as they find somebody who does the job very well at a lower level, the first thing they want to do is put them in an upper level. Why? Because they want that to spread. So God may want to spread your gifts and talents to the next level. So, again, I thank you, Apostle Sally, for your testimony. I want to go to our other advisor who is now, we have, Prophet Tyler told me we have about 4 or 5 advisors in training right now. You could be one of those people. So when you hang up, go and say, you know what, I want to find out about this advisor thing. It could be you're one of those people. But we have another one here, and this is Prophet Adia Peterson, and she's going to change. Now, you've listened to these people, these advisors again and again, but I want you to hear their story 5 years later so that you realize that this is not a novel thing. We're not just coming out trying to find our footing and trying to discover our way. This is something that's been working. Our systems have been tried and tested. We've had hundreds of vessies over the years. So this is working, and we wanted you to hear how it's working and hear from the people who are making it work. So, Adia, you're next. Tell us yours.
Bless God. Thank you, Dr. Price. I'm so excited to be able to talk to your audience tonight just about this. I love talking about the assessments because to me and for me, the assessment really brought a lot of definition to what I do and can do. When I first took the prophet's assessment all those years ago, I think I was impressed by all of it, but I think I was more impressed by the areas that it was able to peg that I wasn't ready more than the areas that it pegged that I was. It was incredible that it showed that I, you know, had transitioned clearly that, you know, the prophetic was new. You know, I came to you from a non-prophetic background, but by the time, at the point of the assessment, it had been several years. And so it did reflect that. It reflected the transition. It reflected the growth. But I was just super impressed with how it was able to peg where I wasn't. I'll be candid with the people tonight. One of the things, I remember taking this, the prophetic assessment, shortly after ordination, if I'm remembering that right. And one of the things that Dr. Price would always tell me was that conforming was going to be a thing for me and that I really had to learn to conform. Even though I was acting and operating in that office, there were so many details and aspects of it that I still needed to know. And when I took the prophet's assessment, as I was reviewing this this week, I had to shake my head because conforming was one of the main things on the assessment that it said that I was going to have to conquer. And I just, I find it incredible. I, as an advisor now, you know, I guess skipping ahead 5 years later, I'm an advisor now, teaching, coaching. Those were things that it pegged, leadership prophet, teaching prophet. It talked about that I would be mentoring, coaching, developing, training, all the things that I'm actively doing now. But I am so humbled by its ability to tell me what God was going to continue to have to shape and to work. 5 years later, I can say that he has shaped a lot of those things. And at that moment, I could not see all of those things. And I think that I represent a lot of people at the moment of your assessment. It's a lot to take in about yourself, and there are so many parts of it that in that moment that you receive it, you can't see every aspect. But as time has gone by, I literally, going back through this assessment this week, I've seen all of it play out, so many aspects. And even recently, a few years back, taking the minister's assessment and seeing those apostolic pieces in there as I've grown and changed, I just think that the assessment is an incredible tool to display that, and it did that for me. That was my journey. I feel like it pegged me right where I was at that time as a prophet, young, unseasoned, you know, looking to find my place, and it pegged that, but it also touched on the power of the potential of the years to come, which in so many ways I feel like I have stepped into. So I'm amazed at it and how it has changed me. It brought me out in certain ways when it talked about even creatively. It was able to touch on things that I didn't even realize that those answer choices would produce. But it rooted and grounded me, gave me an identity, and gave me some very specific things that God has, you know, stocked in my mantle. It gave me a lot of inspiration because of those things to push forward and to really press into the things that God has. So it's a gift, and it was a gift to me. And so now I'm coaching professionally as a prophet, teaching professionally, mentoring professionally, and have the opportunity to really use this prophet's mantle in a very professional, lucrative way. So I'm excited about what it did for me, and that's just a piece, I guess, of my story.
Well, Adia, I want to ask you, because you brought something else. You said I'm mentoring, I'm coaching, and all of that as a prophet. Talk to me about what it means, because you went to school for psychology. So talk to me about what it means to be able to use this mantle and that education in the prophet's office. I really need to hear you talk to me about that.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, so many aspects of what a prophet does, when you talk about critical thinking, conflict resolution, mediation, discernment, perceptive, using your perceptive abilities, counseling, reconciling, so many aspects of that would be classified in the world of psychology. So many things that we do now where you have to, you know, assess and evaluate, be able to see beyond what people are presenting you. I have found that so many aspects of what I learned in psychology I actually am doing now, but on a whole different level, because as a prophet, you get the opportunity to pierce into that other side of who people are that they can't necessarily teach you in psychology. You know, the book of Christ on their lives, being able to peer in and see those inner layers that on psychology you can really only dive into on the surface. So that part of it has been incredible. You know, if someone had asked me 10 years ago when I graduated, are you going to do anything with this psych degree, I probably at that time would have told them, I don't know, you know, I don't think so, because I wasn't going to go on to pursue a higher level of psychology at that time. But now, you know, mentoring professionally, I'm using a lot of those aspects all of the time. And what's amazing about it is I get to use them with a prophet's wisdom, with the prophet's wisdom. And that's incredible. So that's what that's like. You know, it's taking the concepts and the principles that I learned through psychology, but being able to apply Christ's wisdom to them. And that is the definite benefit of using them as a prophet, from a prophet's perspective.
Excellent. I'm glad you shared that, because I think that is so key to what we're doing. As a matter of fact, I know we have Prophet Tyler on the phone, and she and I were just talking about that today. Tyler, you have a couple of clients who have professional businesses like that. Can you speak to those and tell me, I know, of course, we won't violate their confidentiality, but tell me how they feel about this being extended to the prophet's office and you yourself being a prophet handling these things. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it is true. We have quite a few clients who already have psychology backgrounds and do some sort of clinical type counseling or consultation professionally. And of course, they absolutely love the assessment and what it can provide for the body of Christ and giving that kind of in-depth knowledge and analysis. So they're really excited about those things and really do see the benefits of having a tool like this or using a tool like this, you know, in conjunction with not only what they do professionally, but especially what they do ministerially. It allows them to kind of fuse the two worlds together. I just spoke with someone today who does professional clinical counseling in her city. I was very excited about the opportunity to become a prophetic advisor because they did come up as a prophet on their assessments. But not only that, they said when they're in their consultation with these individuals, she said what they're asking me for more often than not is for prophetic insight and for prophetic words and for them to tell, you know, for me, you know, for her to rather tell them what is going on in their lives. And so she said, I obviously can't do that for legal reasons because her license, you know, is not under that. But if she can have a practice in which she can refer people and legitimately use her prophetic abilities to coach and mentor them through their life situations, that'll be, you know, a phenomenal a bridge for her between the two worlds. And so she was really excited about the opportunity of doing that and wants to go through with the training so that she can start her own prophetic practice. And so we have quite a few people who are like that and enjoy the model and enjoy the concept of assessment-based coaching, you know, where they can, and that's what she liked too, is that, you know, she doesn't have to feel like I'm always on the hook to just give people, you know, a prophetic word, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a word of prophecy. I can actually develop a prophetic treatment plan for them and use some of those other dimensions of my mantle through a vehicle that will give me constant one-on-one access to these people, and it would also give me a blueprint to work from, you know, so we don't have to continue to just pull it completely out of thin air, but now you're working from a blueprint about this person and really can steer them towards some things. In fact, I had one of my clinical consulting clients said to me that the assessment was so powerful that when she was about to make a crucial mistake in her own life, she went back and recalled how the assessment pointed out that she was, you know, she struggled with her emotions, making rash emotional decisions. And so she said, when I went back and I looked at, you know, my emotional intelligence and some of the things that came up in my threat, you know, what was going to threaten her ministerial liability and integrity, she said, oh my goodness, it's happening right now. And it's great because she understood, you know, because of her profession, the implications of what that language is really speaking to her and how that shows up in behaviors and actions and motivations. And so I think that working with them is great, and this gives us an opportunity to not only just do it professionally because they are obviously doing it professionally, but also doing it prophetically and creating a legitimate place in the market to use your prophetic abilities. And as you pointed out earlier, outside of the church and outside of the confines of, you know, that environment, that strict ministerial environment, you know, in which the relationships can get kind of complicated and interesting, and then you're kind of at the mercy or vulnerable to people. And in business, to a degree, you are too, but the difference is they're coming to you for a service and not necessarily for this very intertwined or complex relationship. So it allows you to have the clarity and the not even just detachment, but that kind of, you know, the opportunity to be professional, that I think is what I'm looking for, that you can, yes, you can just really step into that and do your job and not have to worry about some of the other things that happen when you are trying to, you know, do it in just a strictly ecclesiastical environment. Not obviously wanting to replace that. We obviously need church prophets, but I think allows them that kind of opportunity to really just say, you know what, I can focus in on doing this job and providing what mantle's here to provide, and some of the other things might be able to take care of themselves. And a lot of the people, the most recent of IZ trainer that we signed up, absolutely loved that. She said, that's great, because it just gives me a way to kind of not only intersect still with ministers and the body of Christ as well as the marketplace, but it gives me an opportunity to kind of set up those lines and boundaries and really be able to just handle my mantle from that perspective.
Wow. Now, I want to ask you a question, because we had we only have a little bit of time, so I'm going to put you on the hook for, like, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, like that. But I want to ask you a question. We talked this morning about what the common belief is about the prophetic, what people really think the prophetic is, or what they think makes a prophet. And I always ask this question. And so you get an opportunity to wrap up what we're talking about tonight. What is it that you discovered about how you're doing and how you're discharging your office, executing your office as a prophet, that helps you answer the question of when you can't prophesy, what else do you do as a prophet? For example, we often hear people say, well, a prophet is a person who prophesies. And because we don't have a lot of prophets who wrote commentaries, who wrote explanations, they can't figure that out. I mean, what else can you do? If God speaks, you say the end. But see, there's infinitely more in Scripture about that than we know today. So if you were asked, if someone asked you, like I'm doing right now, what does a prophet do when they can't prophesy? Let's say the leaders are like, don't bring a word. You're sitting in a church. I don't want to hear that mess. Keep it out of here. I don't want my people touched by it. What else can you do? And if they're not in church, what else can you do?
Well, I think that one of the things that the assessment drew out, you know, which is an interesting aspect, and I can think I can say this succinctly, is some of the other consultative, therapeutic, strategic aspects of what a prophet does, you know, is allowed to come out. You know, we discovered even building this company that, you know, even though we're a company of prophets, which I love to say, spend a lot of time not just prophesying in that traditional sense, or even trying to predict. We do a combination of things, because we're strategizing. Sometimes we're predicting. Sometimes we're foreseeing and forecasting and those types of things. But other times we are, you know, diagnosing and treating issues. We obviously, because of what we do as advisors, we're getting into some of the therapeutic things, because not everything has to be come through the form of prophecy or thus saith the Lord, or bringing those things in. You know, like Daniel, you can administrate some things. And so we get an opportunity to administrate a lot of different aspects of the prophetic, you know, interpretations, translations of things, working through issues, problem solving, conflict resolution. I know that we talked about on the apostolic level some of those intervention things. And so we have an opportunity to really use the other aspects of our mantle, obviously training and teaching are other things that prophets do a lot when they're not prophesying, okay, those didactic abilities. So that's, you know, we do a lot of that in our organization, and it frees you up and opens you up to really be able to function in a position and not just as a gifting. And what I think you've done very well through the assessments and even through a lot of your writing is introduce the prophet as a position instead of just a mouthpiece. Because when no one wants to hear what you have to say, you have to have something else to do. And if you're going to be an organizational prophet, like my dear friend out in Washington, well, he can't come out and just prophesy all the time. So he has to use a more therapeutic approach. He has to do a lot more coaching. He has to do mentorship, problem solving, diagnostics. He has to do a lot of things on his job that are very prophetic and that require his mantle, but you know, other than prophesy, because he's not allowed to do that because he works for a secular organization that won't, you know, stand for that. So those are just some brief things, you know, just kind of keeping it brief, some things that prophets can do on an organizational administrative level as well, other than just saying, you know, this is the word of the Lord concerning this, that, or the other thing. Because we've done a lot of that reporting, strategizing, helping people come up with plans, I mean, watch care. So, and I'll leave it there because I'm looking at the time, and so I know you probably want to wrap up on some thoughts about that, but those are just some of the things just very quickly that come to mind that we can do, that I do on a daily basis that have nothing to do with, you know, me prophesying to someone.
Amen. Well, listen, I think you gave some great answers, and I just want you to know that we are not replacing anything clinical anything therapeutic, anything psychological. That's not our call. Our call is in our lane. Our realm is the prophetic. And so what we do is we deal with how God wants to deal with his people, the vessels in his body, in his service, and in his kingdom. So we have, and I love the fact that we do have clinicians and therapists and psychologists and counselors who are professional, who are able to do this and support what God is doing prophetically. But they are excited that they, about the fact that they don't have to abandon their first call to discharge it and execute that call in another environment, under another label, under another heading. They can do this and still serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're serving God in the church, and they're serving God in the kingdom, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank you for joining us this evening. We're running out of time, so I want to, again, invite you, go to drpaulaprice.com and say, I want to take an assessment. This is me. I want to serve God in my office, in my mantle, in the world, because it's okay. You know, he's God of all. And then if you are a leader or a church or Christian organization, go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I want a demo. Show me how this thing can work and help my people, my organization. You do one of those two things, and I'm telling you, your life will change. You'll never be the same, but you'll have such peace and confidence in going forward in what God has given you to do, knowing that you are right on track for destiny. So until next week, God bless you. Have a great week. Talk to you Thursday.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.